If you lost Survivor and you're feeling down, David and Jessica will turn it around. They'll break down the rules and they'll show you how. You played yourself and got voted out. This is why Blank lost. And this is why Blank lost. Oh baby, this is why Blank lost.
Welcome to the first official Why Blank Lost podcast of the new season. I'm David Bloomberg, and while Ronnie Barta may be a better poker player than I am, at least I can analyze his Survivor game to go over everything that went wrong. Joining me as always in this endeavor is my co-host Jessica Lewis, who has played poker herself a few times and told me she got lucky on a bluff once, but she knows you need a lot more than luck to bluff your way out of a blindside.
That is absolutely true. I still remember when I managed to win. My husband was rather upset because I'm not a good poker player, but I did pull off one bluff. Unfortunately for Ronnie, he didn't pull off any of his bluffs. So yeah. It was a valiant effort, though. I have to give him that. It was a valiant effort.
Yeah, well, you know, one way that Ronnie became famous was getting bluffed by a supermodel on national television.
Yes, so. I saw that, and he was put into a cage for it.
Okay, I missed that part, but...
It was some shark cage or something?
Right.
But yes, I did. So, I was very intrigued about that.
Yeah, next year.
Yeah. No, I was definitely intrigued when I heard about that, and I was like, I got to check this out. And then I saw the very famous bluff, and then he got put in a cage.
And that inspired you to bluff your husband?
No, I actually had done that previously. Yeah.
Oh, so you inspired the supermodel is what you're saying.
Apparently I had some type of an effect on it, I guess. It was the butterfly effect. I threw that out into the world and that's what happened. Sorry, Ronnie. Yeah.
All right. Well, normally at this point we chat a little bit more than we just did. But with this being the first boot of the season and having some new listeners, I wanted to first explain how things generally go here. After each episode airs, we go through not just what we saw on TV, but also all the interviews, unaired clips from CBS All Access, if they have any, Twitter, and, you know, everything else to gather all the available information. Then we compare what each player did to a set of rules I originally put together after the first season of Survivor and which I've been updating ever since. We're working on getting the new version posted, and we discuss the changes that I've made in our preseason podcast. But in the meantime, you can find last season's version at robhasawebsite.com/survivor38rules. There's also the shorter and much more colorful version of the rules in poster form, which you can find at tinyurl.com/davidrulesposter.
Yes, and you should definitely check it out on eBay and order it. It's only $20, and it is a very quick version of the rules. The much lengthier version, I will say, is much lengthier, but well worth the read. You should definitely read it, but too much for a poster. So yeah,
how many posters would the full version of the rules take?
Oh, my word. Isn't it like 26 pages when it's printed out or something?
Probably,
so,
yeah.
Yeah. So I think it would be too much.
A lot of drawing by Eric Reichenbach, too.
Yeah, and I don't think he would have the time nor the inclination to want to do that. So. But we went with the much shorter version. It's really incredibly well drawn, put together. Eric did a fantastic job on it. It looks great when it's in a frame. So you can order it, $20. And where the quantities are decreasing. So if we get a huge interest, you know, maybe we'll order some more. But for now, we're on a limited amount here. So order them up before they're gone.
All right. Before we get into our discussion of the rules, we do have a few other things to talk about. For one, Jessica, you often claim that you're not good at predictions.
I'm not.
But John Tinkham pointed out on Twitter that when we talked about Dan in the preview podcast, you said you were worried that he might, quote, rub people the wrong way.
Apparently he really did rub people the wrong way.
Yes. So you were dead on there.
I was. And, you know, that was the concern I had for him. Not that he would actually be rubbing people, but that was part of his personality. He just seems to be an individual who is very comfortable with himself and comfortable with other people and wants to have close relationships with people, but yeah, got a little bit too personal on some of the interactions he had there.
Yeah.
But I had no idea that he would actually be rubbing people.
Come on, don't. You can take credit for your prediction there.
Good. I was dead on.
Yes. So we'll discuss at the end of the podcast whether we think that will play into the next episode. But as for this one, producers are still in the mode of blindsiding the viewers. And I understand that it can be fun, but I want to know what led to that result. Who flipped everyone? How did they do it?
Yeah.
It seems like it was a combination of Tom flipping some people and the Women's Alliance pushing Karishma. But I feel like the producers need to make sure they give credit where credit is due. And I'm worried that we'll never really fully know, even if they show a little discussion next episode.
Well, and unfortunately, we don't even have any extra web confessionals to go to and say, hey, this explains it. Now we know what happened. So, yeah, we're kind of left in the dark with that one.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, that's all just part of the editing, part of the way the editing is trending.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, now speaking of the editing, I was going to make a joke about how professional poker player Ronnie couldn't even bluff Elaine in that conversation we saw. But then Ronnie explained in many of his interviews that he wasn't trying to bluff her at that point because his conversation with her took place before he decided to target her. So he was actually being sincere. But he also admitted in those interviews that when watching them back, he can understand why she thought he wasn't being sincere due to the way he came off. I'm sure that will come up again when we get to the rules, but I wanted to lay out the order of events before we started.
Yeah, because that was the editing looked great with the way that they did it, having him do his confessional, then the little conversation, then her do her confessional. And you were like, oh, this is good. But yeah, unfortunately, that wasn't the order of things. So the editing does get creative to tell a better story. Totally understand that. But sometimes it is a little misleading, unfortunately.
No, never.
Never.
Just like it wasn't misleading, you know, last season when those extra video clips showed where it was misleading and suddenly we stopped seeing extra video clips.
Oh, no, you went there.
Yeah, I did. Mm-hmm. That you take away my video clips and I get angry.
Well, it is really quite frustrating. I do enjoy the video clips and not only just for myself, but I think also the players would enjoy to be able to see some of their additional footage if it was out there. It's just a nice thing to have as a person who's on the actual season.
Yeah. And for some of us who initially got CBS All Access to watch those clips, it's a little bit frustrating.
Yeah, that is definitely frustrating. Good thing I'm still paying for the commercials.
Ah, well. Yes, it was actually the clips that got me to stop paying for commercials because I was tired of having, you know, 1 minute commercials followed by a 1 minute clip. So
right. And the same commercial, not even a different commercial. Yeah.
Over and over again.
Yeah, I was just watching the commercials. Now it doesn't matter.
Yeah, well, we'd be willing to go back to that if we could get clips again.
I know. Clips would be great. If you're listening, CBS, clips would be
That's
great.
Right. That's right. And if not, I'll probably complain about it on Twitter again. So
okay.
Anyway, the other thing I wanted to mention was that Ronnie noted in at least one interview that immediately prior to coming on Survivor, he had been ill. Mm-hmm. And you know that combined with the antibiotics he was on wiped him out. He says he was in pain every day, which prevented him from being his genuine self. And there's not much we can say about that because we don't know exactly how much it affected him other than what he just said.
Right.
All we can do is look at what he did and said and evaluate everything from that point. So this will be the last time we bring that up.
Yeah, he did mention it to Josh immediately after the game, too, which I thought was interesting. He didn't go into detail about being sick, but just basically said, anyone who's going to play this game, make sure you're coming into it 100% healthy.
Healthy, yeah.
And that you're in your best way possible to play this game. So clearly it had to have been a thing, but I don't know if it morphed into more of a thing as he had time to kind of reflect on it. But clearly he mentioned it immediately to Josh. So that leads me to believe that there was potentially something there.
Yeah. But like I said, we'll just evaluate his actions. What caused those actions? We can't really speak to it.
Right.
But, anyway, in preseason interviews, Ronnie noted that Survivor is like poker in that you can do everything right and still lose. So, you know, did Ronnie do everything right in his 3 days? Well, Ronnie was the type who normally does not get voted out first.
Mm-hmm.
He's a young man who seemed athletically okay. When Jeff Probst was asked in his Entertainment Weekly interview what lesson could be learned from Ronnie's early exit, he actually said he doesn't think there is a lesson. But Jeff, there's almost always a lesson.
Mm-hmm.
And Ronnie's situation is no different. So let's teach Jeff a thing or two as we figure out why Ronnie lost.
Jeff, that's coming from David, not me. Really, I think you're
sorry,
incredible.
Yeah.
Let's throw that in there.
Okay. The disclaimer, yes.
Yes, there is a disclaimer. Little asterisk next to that.
All right, so as we get into the rules here, the first and most important one is, of course, to scheme and plot. And Ronnie certainly seemed to know that, and he got right to it. He was part of the group of seven, I hesitate to call them an alliance, who started by targeting Elaine, Vince, and Tom because that threesome left camp for a little while. You know, Dan and his plan of sticking to the majority group would have been proud if he had been on this tribe.
Yes, wasn't that exciting? Because that was exactly what Dan said he was going to do. You know, that once one small group leaves, that's it.
He'd have probably been hugging the other six, you know.
Yeah, so. And a little bit, rubbing them.
Give them all back rubs. But, you know, I called them a group, not an alliance, because they didn't exactly last very long. And several other alliances and pairings were formed that soon overrode decisions made by the seven.
Right.
You know, that group wasn't all that Ronnie was doing. Tyson wrote a column on the poker website Pocket Fives to look at Ronnie's game. I think the intent was he was going to look at Ronnie's game every week, which, you know, may make it the shortest weekly column ever. but. Yeah, he noted that Ronnie's, quote, sitting and watching strategy was a smart move because it allows you to familiarize yourself with your surroundings and get a feel for who is interacting with whom. Tyson thinks Ronnie should have taken his own advice and sat and watched a little longer.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a little torn on this advice, though, because on the one hand, Ronnie wasn't social enough. On the other hand, he did move too aggressively, which we'll discuss in more detail in the second rule. Overall, I think you can't just sit and watch or else people will wonder what you're up to. You know, we talked in the preseason podcast about how Jeff Probst said Ronnie could give a first impression of just studying someone rather than opening up immediately. But on Survivor, you need to interact and create allies. And Ronnie said in one interview, quote, "It was ultimately my fault. In those first couple of days, I wasn't able to form alliances or relationships with Missy, Chelsea, and Elizabeth. It was like pulling teeth talking with Dean. It was so hard." And, you know, one case in particular stood out where Ronnie missed a chance at making an ally. He mentioned in some interviews a situation where Chelsea came up to him and tried to start a discussion about working together, but he brushed her off because he was busy in that moment. And he now realizes that was a mistake and a turning point because he never got back to her.
Yeah,
that is a huge error in the first few days of Survivor when everyone should be making alliances. And this is especially true because we found out that Chelsea herself was tied to other people. So that one missed conversation had, you know, exponential effects.
Oh, absolutely. The weird component of those first few days is, one, you don't know each other, clearly. And you're also very suspect of each other because you're realizing I'm playing a game against all of these people. So there's this weird, I need you, you need me, but I'm going to vote you out. You're going to vote me out. So it's definitely a lot of mental anguish because you're trying to figure out how best to deal with these people. And those small pockets and those small groups become very integral into deciding the game moving forward. And if you see a couple of people who are always congregating together, that's definitely going to raise a flag. And if you miss those conversations, then yeah, you're going to be in a lot of trouble. I almost missed the group of six initially because it all happened so quickly. And if you're not on top of it, if you're not paying attention, then yeah, you're going to be in trouble just like Ronnie was. He had an opportunity to have a relationship with Chelsea and he dismiss the relationship to try to make fire. You know what? Fire can wait. I'm sorry. Like, you got to have those conversations. You need to be having those conversations. And if you're worried that there's people there, invite her into the fire making little circle. Be like, hey, well, why don't you help us? And then perhaps you can at least try to bond that way and talk a little bit. So it really does matter.
I thought you were going to say invite her into the fire.
No, but you know what? I mean, like, it's always a great ploy when you're out there is if you're doing something, bring someone with you to do it with you. You know, like you're working on fire, like, hey, Chelsea, you know, instead of taking off and going for a walk together, because then people really notice, you can have those conversations sitting in camp and no one really needs to know that that's what you're talking about. If it looks like you're just working on fire, if you're just working on the shelter, you're going to get water. You know, those are all things that people can be mindful of who want to play this game, is that there's a way to have those conversations and not separate yourself so much and make it appear as if you're taking off to have those conversations.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, you know, compare what Ronnie did to what Elaine did. You know, when her name came up, she was saved in part because, as you know, Ronnie has described to us, Tom refused to vote her out. He also said that Chelsea didn't want Elaine gone, and Elaine developed a relationship with all the women.
Yeah.
Plus, Elaine swayed those who had brought up her name with an argument about why she should be kept, which helped flip the vote on Vince, or at least, you know, we thought it was on Vince. And of course, Vince hurt his own cause by running around to everyone after they had discussed the vote, including when Ronnie had just mentioned that Chelsea was terrible at the puzzle. And Vince told everyone that Ronnie and Aaron were putting Chelsea's name out there, you know, a situation that I'm sure compounded the problem that Ronnie had with Chelsea from earlier.
Mm-hmm.
So Ronnie said Vince was all over the place and they couldn't trust him. And he also told Mike Bloom that Vince did nothing on the puzzle and was like a fish thrown out in the desert in that situation. So it seemed like it made sense to target Vince once it was clear that the original target of Elaine wasn't going to work.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I do think that it's interesting that the difference in between Vince and Elaine. I mean, Elaine is being targeted by Ronnie and others because she's likable. Vince could be targeted because he's running around telling people things, not doing well at the first puzzle. I feel like the first few days, it's a better play to go after someone for their performance in the challenge and how they're behaving in camp, spreading things about people. That's a better play than she's really likable and she might win. We need to get rid of her, because it's too soon for that. I mean, it's too soon to target the cool kid everybody likes, because no one's really going to get behind that, because she's enjoyable. She's fun to have around. And I think a lot of people are going to be thinking, there's 39 days we have to be out here. A lot of things can happen in 39 days, and I'd rather be sitting next to someone who's enjoyable and who I like than someone who I'm suspicious of or makes, you know, rubs me the wrong way. I shouldn't say that again because I've said that before. But, you know, one of the things that, you know, pregame, like even Aaron said, he wasn't getting good vibes off of Ronnie. So there was clearly something about Ronnie that wasn't setting the right way with people. And so I think if you're worried about your initial impression and how people are going to perceive you, and if there's this idea that you could be seen as a weasel, don't go after the cool kid everybody likes. Because that's not that he's a bully, because he's not, but that's kind of like a bully move. Like, oh, you know, like if people think I'm kind of sneaky, I'm going to go after the one that everybody seems to like. I just feel like that was a bad play for him to go down that path. He would have been better off focusing on someone like Vince and spending the majority of his time talking about Vince and not Elaine, because I feel like Vince is someone people could have gotten behind as opposed to someone everybody liked.
Yeah, indeed. You know, Vince was my prediction for the first one out of this tribe for exactly that reason.
Yeah.
You know, I guess we could sum it up for this rule by saying Ronnie was definitely scheming and plotting.
Mm-hmm.
But he wasn't doing it the right way. He wasn't doing it effectively for the, you know, the reasons that you brought up. And that takes us directly to the second rule, which says not to scheme and plot too much, not to backstab too soon, and to keep your scheming secret. Now, you know, we already mentioned that Ronnie was trying to cultivate a relationship with Elaine in that out of order scene. So why would he turn around and try to backstab her so soon? Well, you already brought it up. It's because she was so likable. Mm-hmm. And you also brought up it was a huge mistake. You know, yes, being likable at the end makes someone a huge threat. But on day three,
yeah,
to me, it makes them practically immune.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You know, you need to go after someone unlikable, mm-hmm, or, you know, some other reason, but certainly not the most likable way. And because likable people have friends and allies.
Yes, exactly.
You know, he said in one interview, she was able to win over the crowd and I wasn't. In the game of Survivor, those first few days are really a popularity contest because we don't have much to go off of.
Mm-hmm.
Well, exactly.
Right. And he shouldn't have even questioned whether or not she would be able to win the other people over, because he knew that she was already winning people over. Like,
right,
he already knows that she's really good at talking to people and that people like her. So if there's anyone on the fence, who are they going to pick? Well, this lady over here makes me laugh a lot, and she seems really nice and enjoyable, and I can hang out with her. Yeah, it's a bad play to go after someone because they're likable so soon. Just a bad play.
Yeah, I mean, he broke this rule, and, you know, in his own words from another interview, I guess I jumped the gun and was playing too hard off the bat. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you were. I'm not sure why he was so worried about Elaine's likability at this very early stage. We mentioned in our preseason podcast that you don't want to make big moves in the pre-merge, and you certainly don't want to be doing it on the very first vote.
Right. But I think, though, there's a part of you when you're out there and you see someone that everybody is gravitating towards and someone that people are enjoying, and it can certainly start to eat away at you that, well, that person is going to be able to make alliances a lot easier than I am because people are meshing with her. They're not meshing with me. It almost becomes like a personal thing when you're seeing this relationship develop that you're not a part of, because you know that that relationship is going to affect your game down the road. And you want to be a part of that. You don't want to be left out of that. And if he was feeling left out of it, maybe the knee jerk reaction is, I got to get rid of it. Instead of trying to get behind it, like, I feel like he should have tried to get behind Elaine, act like he's like on Elaine's side, because that could integrate you into the group. If you're following the leader, if you will, if we call Elaine the leader, and he gets behind her, that would have been a better thing for him to do than separate himself so much from her and call her out as being that likable person. He should have been like, wow, she's really great. I like Elaine a lot, and really owned that. Even if it kills you to do it, that's the way you got to play it.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's just way too early, mm-hmm, to be worried about the final three or even, you know, the swap, because that was something else he talked about in interviews, that, you know, what might happen if he and Elaine were swapped into the minority together. And, you know, he was worried that she was so likable that the majority on this hypothetical swap tribe would vote him out first.
Mm-hmm.
And so many things have to fall exactly right for that to happen. I just don't think it's worth worrying about.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think that he should have played it differently. He absolutely should have played it differently. 100%.
Yeah. I mean, to me, it's like you're playing a poker tournament. And you're at your starting table with someone you feel is the best player there. You're like, oh my gosh, this guy's really good. And you decide you're going to take them out in the very first hand, so you don't have to worry about them later, despite the fact that you're holding an inferior poker hand.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It's like, I only have, seven deuce, but I'm sure that I can get this guy's chips.
Yeah. Yeah. He pushed too hard too soon.
So, yeah. So anyway, before we leave this rule, I do want to mention that the rule also warns against forming tight duos. And, you know, while the first 3 days is a bit early to usually worry about that, Ronnie indicated that he now thinks one of his downfalls was he hit it off right away with Aaron, and the two of them were together a lot working on the fire. I guess it's possible, but I just think other aspects of this rule and some of the others we're going to be discussing were more important than that.
He did say that Aaron is playing a flawless game.
Yeah, flawless, except he was on the wrong end of the initial vote.
Right.
So,
I thought it was kind of funny.
Yeah. I mean, maybe it'll get better, but that seems to be one big flaw right there.
I mean, it's not a bad thing to have someone who you connect with in those first couple of days. It feels good to know that you've got someone, but you can't limit yourself to that one person in those first 3 days.
Yeah. Yeah. And you certainly can't be the only one of two votes that, you know, for the other person.
Right. So clearly they were a little bit separated.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, before we go on to the other rules, let's take a quick break to hear from our sponsors if there's one in your area. If there's not, we'll be back even quicker.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
We're back, so let's go on to the third rule, which talks about being flexible. How do you think Ronnie did here?
I think he tried, but not well. Because here's the thing. He went into this idea that, he did want to work with Elaine. He said that, you know, now we know that things were out of order. He initially wanted to work with Elaine, but then he changed his mind. And I do think that he was being flexible in his approach to various options, because initially it was Elaine and he realized that wasn't going to work. It ended up being Vince. He thought that was going to work. So there was some flexibility there, but I think he came across as too locked into a particular idea when it was being presented to people, because everyone's always very fearful. I don't want to bring someone's name up. I don't want to say somebody first. He was dropping people's names. I think he was doing it in a way that he wanted it to appear as if he was flexible. Like, hey, these are just some ideas. But I don't know if that was how it came across, because clearly once it spread around camp, it was Ronnie's dropping this person's name and Ronnie's dropping that person's name. So I don't know if he really appeared to be as flexible as he was attempting to be.
Yeah, I would say he was trying to be flexible when he, agreed to not target Elaine, but to go after Vince instead. Mm-hmm. But you're right. Beyond that, he was the one who was naming names, mm-hmm, and taking an active role in pushing, whether it was for Elaine or Vince, pushing for someone to go rather than sitting back and agreeing with whatever names were brought up.
Right. I mean, his whole sit back and watch motto, that's not what he was doing in those conversations at all.
No. All right. Moving to the fourth rule, it tells players not to let their emotions control them. And to me, it's hard to say if this was part of the problem here. You know, was Ronnie in a more emotional position that caused him to worry so much about Elaine later in the game? I mean, it could be seen as a strategic bad move, which we've already described it as. But was it caused by a fear response rather than a logical one? I mean, you already brought that up of, you get this gut reaction to seeing people making friends and allies, and you're like, oh my gosh, I got to do something about this.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that we'll ever know.
I don't know, but I feel like that was more of what it was than anything, because I do think that he describes himself, and even Jeff said it, that outside of the game, he's that nice, likable guy that gets along with everyone. And here, he just wasn't meshing with people. He wasn't jiving with people, and he couldn't figure out why. So I don't know if maybe there was an emotional response to that. If you are always perceived in a particular fashion, and then you go out and you play this game, and you're with people that you've never seen before, and they're perceiving you differently than what you're accustomed to, it can definitely have some emotional response. And I think that perhaps that might have been part of why he reacted the way that he did, because this is new for him. He's not used to having people not like him, and he's not used to having people not think he's the nice guy. So perhaps that played into how he ended up playing this hand, if you will.
Yeah, and that leads nicely to the fifth rule, which discusses how players have to pretend to be nice and play the social game. You know, in the first vote, every player is still working with or against the impressions everyone else had about them from their silent pregame time at Ponderosa. Mm-hmm. And, Josh Wigler asked the players for their impressions of Ronnie. Several didn't like him even then.
Mm-hmm.
Elaine thought he seemed a bit shady. Dean got the impression that Ronnie thought he was a big shot. And you already mentioned that even Aaron, who was the only one that stayed aligned with Ronnie, didn't get good vibes from him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Elaine's impression from before the game may explain why she reacted so negatively to him when he was chatting her up. And, you know, as we noted earlier, he says he was sincere when he spoke to her, and it occurred before he decided to target her. So in his eyes, she actually misread his intentions at the time. But in watching himself back, he understands why she did so, because he admits he looked disingenuous. And if you don't know him, he could seem slimy and appear to have a hard interior, even though that's not how he is.
Right.
I think this all circles back to those negative first impressions.
Yeah. I mean, you really have to smile a lot, appear to be the most friendly person in those days leading up to the game starting, because people really are judging you based on how you carry yourself, because that's all they can do. And if you're sitting there looking unhappy, looking angry, looking a little unapproachable, all of these things are thoughts they're going to have going into the game. And I mean, she actually said, "I'd cut his ass." I mean, that's what that was how much of an impression he made on her just without even speaking to her. So clearly there had to be something being exuded from his facial expressions, his mannerisms, the way that he did things. And that can have a huge impact on the game. And I do think that that was part of why Elaine had that read on him when all of a sudden he's talking to her. She's like, yeah, no, she's already done with him at that point, just based on that pregame observation.
Yeah. And then Ronnie told Mike Bloom that as soon as they arrived at the beach, he could tell both Vince and Tom had made negative judgments about him based on his appearance. So add those two to the group that, you know, we're already talking about.
Mm-hmm.
He admitted in the preseason that he can look intense or calculating when he's not smiling. And, you know, that he definitely fell into that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it went beyond that. In the first rule, we discussed how he didn't create allies. He also didn't do what Elaine did. He said in interviews that he knows the first few days are about developing those kinds of connections, and he just wasn't well received. He didn't develop the relationships he needed. And you know, that has raised the question of whether Ronnie's performance in this regard, along with, you know, some of the other poker players we've seen, it does this show that professional poker players are just bad survivor players for this reason?
You know, it's interesting that you just went there, because I actually just made a quick note. The poker face, you know, when you play poker, and I you obviously play a lot more poker than I ever have, but there's this idea that you don't want anybody to really get a good read on you, because you don't want to be, you don't want to look excited and jubilated about the cards you have in your hand. You know, that's kind of a giveaway. So perhaps he's very accustomed to having that kind of almost stern look on his face, because he doesn't want to give anything away. And in poker, that works for you, because you're playing poker. You're not supposed to look happy, and you're not supposed to be trying to make friends. You're supposed to be hiding your cards. So maybe that's why he ended up doing so badly in this regard, because he was presenting himself like he was playing poker when he was sitting around Ponderosa, instead of just trying to present himself as that nice, likable guy.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Ronnie's penetrating stare may be great at the poker table, and you don't want to be on the receiving end of it, but not so much in a social game. So mm-hmm. I say it's not that professional poker players are bad at this game. I just don't think they're casting the right professional poker players.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are definitely more social poker players. There's Daniel Negreanu, is well known as a social poker player. Jason Somerville, you know, who has been on the Rob Has a Podcast and had hosted Run It Up Reno with Rob several times. And so, but here's the thing. It seems like under normal circumstances, Ronnie is a pretty social guy himself.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, Daniel Negreanu replied to one of Ronnie's tweets by saying he didn't even recognize Ronnie because he was never smiling or looking happy. You know, Ronnie did say in his Entertainment Weekly interview that he wishes they'd shown how much fun the tribe had, including him beatboxing and laughing while everyone was making jokes. But it seems like that fun time didn't translate into solid relationships he could count on, other than Aaron. I think the first impressions we talked about just had a lot to do with that. And it goes back to, you know, the stare, the being a little too quiet and and drawn back.
A little too intense. Yeah.
Yes.
I really think that was a big hurdle for him to get over.
All right. The sixth rule, as we move on, warns against being too much of a threat. What do you think of Ronnie in this regard?
Well, I do think that his desire to play the game so quickly out of the gate could definitely be perceived as a threat by people who are playing it with him, because they're seeing that he's not afraid to drop a name. He's not afraid to actually grab a group of people together and talk strategy. And someone like Elaine, whose name is being put out there, clearly he's a threat to someone like Elaine. So Elaine wants to flip that, you know, flip the script, if you will, because she doesn't want her name to be out there. And we saw her try to do that. Like, listen, I don't want to go home. Who else can we talk about? So I do think that in that regard, seeing someone play the game so quickly in those 3 days can definitely be perceived as a threat for people who are playing with him.
Yeah, he was trying to push the idea that Elaine and Vince were the threats, and instead he turned into the threat, you know. Yes. And that happens so frequently that you're pushing a target and the tables get turned on you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so by targeting people who were likable, he turned into the target himself.
Yeah. 100%.
All right. The seventh rule covers idols and advantages, and well, we don't have anything to say in that regard, so we can skip to Appendix A, which is about the rest of the tribe keeping their end goals in mind when voting. And a big part of this rule is that they should, whenever possible, vote out the weak, then the strong, then the weak, then the strong. Ronnie was not one of the weaker players.
Mm-mm.
And, you know, as I noted earlier, a fit younger man is not the stereotypical mold of someone who goes first.
Right.
The problem was that every time he named someone who hadn't done well in the challenge, those names got around, mostly spread by Vince, it seems, and allies banded together to deflect from those people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have to remember that weak can mean either someone who does poorly in challenges or someone who will cause divisions in the tribe that will overall weaken the group dynamic.
Yep.
He wasn't really causing divisions along the lines we've seen from some people who just couldn't get along, but he was certainly ruffling a lot of feathers, including the Women's Alliance, which is half the tribe.
Yeah, and that's true. I mean, you've got a really strong group of women who have banded together, and you then, and maybe he didn't see that. And that, so to be fair to him, maybe he didn't know. But if you're the one that's starting to name drop and you're the one that's potentially causing those divisions, yeah, that's going to be rough for you to circle back from, for sure.
Yeah. So, all right. So before I go into my conclusions, do you have any final thoughts?
Well, I thought Ronnie was going to do better than he did.
We both did. Yeah.
I know, we both did. I did have some initial concerns because obviously he does appear to be someone who's a little more strategic. And I think we talked about him being a poker player and how that's going to affect his ability to play this game. And there is always that question, will a poker player do well or is it going to not bode so well for them? He wasn't going to tell anyone he was a poker player, and he clearly didn't when he ticked off the list of things, Debbie-esque style, when he was in tribal council of all of the jobs he's had. But poker player was not one of them. He did try to win some people over in that moment to be a little more emotional, but I do think that Ronnie was kind of his own worst enemy when he was out there. He went in too hard, too fast, too soon. And really, even though it was playing the game and trying to play this survivor that now exists, where you've got to make moves to create a resume, and that's what people need to have, it not in the first 3 days. First 3 days, he should have spent much more time just being sociable, trying to negate any possible bad feelings people might have towards him just from the Ponderosa experience, and really doing what Elaine was doing, putting on the Elaine show and winning people over. He needed to do the same. Unfortunately, he wasn't able to. I do think that if he had a few more days in the game, he probably could have done so much better. But unfortunately, he didn't get those days. He got three, and that was all he was able to do with it. He tried. He certainly, like I said, put in a valiant effort, but unfortunately, he did not do enough to really create the social bonds that he needed to save himself in that first vote.
Yeah. So they say you never get a second chance to make a good first impression. And on Survivor, many of those first impressions are based simply on how you look and act in a stressful situation where you can't even talk to people. Several of Ronnie's tribe mates got into their heads that they didn't like him before they even officially met him. And it certainly didn't help that Jeff Probst said Ronnie could give a first impression of just studying someone. And Ronnie himself said if you don't know him, he can seem slimy and appear to have a hard interior. Ronnie needed to understand that about himself ahead of time and make conscious efforts to overcome them. Much like we've heard people acknowledge that they have a resting, frowning face and they knew they needed to smile more in those early days to avoid being negatively labeled. Ronnie's cause was not helped by his strategy of hanging back and watching rather than jumping in and making relationships. I understand the thought process behind it, and it certainly makes sense to listen more and talk less, but you still need those interactions in the early hours and days to better overcome the initial negative impressions. In the meantime, other people were making those relationships, especially the people he decided to target. It certainly didn't help that almost all of Ronnie's supposed allies were also allies with other people and thus relayed information back to them while he was trying to make his moves. But the real culprit was trying to do too much too soon. Ronnie told Josh that like poker, you can't win Survivor in the first hand or vote, but you can lose it. He must have gotten that through to Jeff Probst as well, because after Probst said in that Entertainment Weekly interview that there was no lesson to be learned, he did say, well, maybe it's that you can't win the game on day one, but you can definitely lose the game. That's exactly what happened here. Ronnie was too worried about what might happen much further down the road rather than concentrating on making it one vote at a time, especially the first vote. He targeted the person with the most friends while he had the least. And you don't need to be a poker math whiz to know that's not a good idea. That is why Ronnie lost.
Fabulous.
So,
not for Ronnie.
No, not so fabulous for Ronnie. But, all right, so we wrap that up, and it's time now for your favorite part, predictions.
I have an interesting one.
Okay, do you want to go first, or you want
yeah,
me
sure,
to go first?
And say, which now, one? So here's the thing. I know we've been frustrated with the edit lately where they're not really giving us anything, and then all of a sudden they try to blindside the viewers. And I know that the previews sometimes are either like really aggressively pointing at one person and what we've seen, and then that person doesn't go home. So I feel like they're messing with us because we did see you know where I'm going with this. So we saw a lot of Nora.
Yes.
And how she was basically kind of blowing up the tribe, and things were really centered around Nora. So of course,
well, let me describe it in my notes.
Ooh,
going insane. Yeah, that's what I had written.
so here's what I think. I do think it's going to be Nora. I don't think they're trying to throw us off, but I think it's going to be an interesting way that we get there. Because what did we see in the first episode? Everybody was targeting Jason because Jason was running around. They thought he was looking for an idol, and Dan sprinkled out that link, you know, hey, where's Jason? And was saying that to everybody, which I appreciate a lot. So Jason suddenly has a target on his back. And what does Nora do? Nora goes and tells Jason, hey, Jason, everybody thinks you got an idol. And so, because she wants to work with Jason. So her idea is a good one. But if everyone wants Jason out, you're not helping yourself by going to that person and going, hey, by the way, everybody wants you out. Here's what's happening. And so I think she's going to shoot herself in the foot, really, and is going to end up coming to his, I don't know, try to save Jason, if you will, and end up taking the hit for Jason because Jason's going to let her die. He's going to be like, I don't care, you know, like it, because it's not him anymore. I kind of see that being the play, that she's going to try to do something on the heels of the whole Jason debacle and then get herself voted out because of it.
All right. Well, that is not the direction I went, but you may almost have convinced me. But, I am following Hubicki's law, which, of course, for anyone who doesn't know, that is if you are featured quite a bit in the preview, that means you're safe.
Mm-hmm.
So, according to that, she's not going out.
Mm-hmm.
And that brings up the question of what does it mean? Well, OK, we know there's a swimming challenge. We saw that. So Elizabeth and Janet should be in their elements for at least that part. And it seems from the episode preview that they do their parts fine. We also learn that Kelly goes to the island of the Idols for a lesson, but it looks like they send a boat to get her rather than taking her after a challenge. Does that mean Vokai won the challenge, or does it just mean producers are shaking things up? I'm guessing the latter, because if you recall, Elizabeth drew a name for who will go next time from the next tribe. So right. It doesn't matter if they won or lost. It's who's going next time. I guess that it's possible she could turn into a target depending on how that goes. And we do see her crying on the beach in a preview. I'm not sure what that's about, but I don't think that'll end up coming to anything. I'm going to predict that Vokai loses the challenge. So, you know, we're the same there. But I think that there was a different set of scenes that we saw in the beginning that's going to come into play here. Not the Jason and Nora ones, but the Dan rubbing people the wrong way ones.
Mm.
You know, even though it seemed to be resolved for the moment, I just think that there was a reason they put that in there. And something is going to happen, you know, with Kelly to make her bring that up again. And I think it's going to be Dan who goes.
Yeah, that's not bad either. He was the one I thought was going to go first. So,
right.
So we'll see. We will see.
So, all right. So there are our predictions for next week. If, of course, if Vokai wins, then, you know, we're both screwed.
Yeah, that's true.
All right. As we wrap up, I want to encourage people to check out the RHAP patron program by heading over to robhasawebsite.com/patron to help support all of the RHAP podcasts and find a great community of people you can talk to about Survivor, Big Brother, and more, all in the special patron Facebook groups. Again, check out everything at robhasawebsite.com/patron. And once you get to those groups, make sure to say hello to us.
Yes. And you should also follow us on Twitter. I am at JessicaLewis89 and David is at David Bloomberg. You can, if you follow us both, it's much better because then you see both sides of the conversation. David posts a lot of wonderful things about me all the time and I really appreciate that. So you can check that stuff out too. So you should definitely follow us both on Twitter, JessicaLewis89, David Bloomberg. And and we also do live tweeting during the actual Survivor episodes, which is always fun. So you can get involved in those conversations there too.
All right. It is time for a hashtag. And I have an idea if you don't think it's going to get you in trouble.
Oh, damn it. I want to hear it because I had an idea too. But what is it? Okay.
Mine is hashtag lesson for Jeff.
Oh.
But that might get you in trouble.
It might. Mine was hashtag poker face.
Okay. Why don't we do hashtag poker face then?
Okay.
So there you go. That way you won't get in trouble. I wouldn't good. Want that.
Yeah, no, I don't want to get in trouble.
And of course, there's the hashtag for this podcast overall, which is YXLost. Before we finish up, I want to remind everyone about the incredible poster that Eric Reichenbach designed with Jessica, which covers all the rules we just discussed. As soon as this podcast is over, you can go to eBay via the link tinyurl.com/DavidRulesPoster. You know, I also want to mention that link will only work if you're in the U.S. So if you're outside the U.S., Canada, England, Ireland, Singapore, Australia, whatever, let Jessica know directly and she'll work out the details with you.
Yes, I have mailed quite a few overseas and it's just contact me through another reason to follow me on Twitter, DM me, and we can make the arrangements to get it over to you. It's obviously a little bit more for shipping, but we'll make it work. We'll get it to you. And I'm the shipping department. So
that's
you get
right.
a little,
you
know, you get a little personal touch from Jessica Lewis herself sending out the poster. So you should definitely contact me or go to the link and order it. It's good. It's good stuff.
Yeah. And again, that link, tinyurl.com/DavidRulesPoster. Also, make sure you're getting all the Survivor commentary you can handle by subscribing to all of the RHAP Survivor podcasts at robhasapodcast.com/survivor or on your favorite podcatcher. We are also on the Reality TV Rehapups feed. In both places, you can find great content like the Know-It-Alls, the Wiggle Room, the B&B, and much more. With that, I'd like to thank Scott St. Pierre, who does the editing on all the Why Blank Lost podcasts. Thanks, as always, to Will from America for the theme song. And thanks to you, Jessica, for a great beginning to a new season.
Well, thank you very much, David. This was quite fun. And I do want to give props for the theme song as well. We have a new listener. I will just throw that out there, who I was speaking to the other day. And one of his favorite things was the jingle at the beginning. He's like, this is great. He's like, he thought it was such a good little song. So thank you very much for that. And yeah, so we will be back next week. And thanks, everyone, for listening.
All right, everyone. We will talk to you next week. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Jessica will turn it around. They'll break down the rules and they'll show you how. You played yourself and got voted out. This is why blank lost. And this is why blank lost. Oh baby, this is why blank lost.